Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to be part of your day, as always. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we got a new friend here. Andy Dunn is with us. Andy is a young entrepreneur. He and his partner, Brian Spaley, have formed a company called Bonobos. B-O-N-O-B-O-S. Bonobos. And they make clothes for men. Snappy, hip clothes, things that the young guys wear, makes them look really, you know, really, I'm going to let the ladies define that. But anyway, they look really good. They look really nice. And so we're going to talk to him about starting this company, by getting it off the ground, how'd that work, and they're still growing the company. And it's a pretty cool idea, and he's our new friend, Andy Dunn. Welcome to the show.
Jim, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. So I was trying to describe how... I'm on your website and I'm looking at these handsome guys on your page here and I just don't think handsome kind of gets it, but I'm a little bit, you know, reluctant to really say maybe what I'm thinking. So these guys are looking really good in your clothes here. That's the idea, isn't it?
They're looking good. You know, that's funny that you point that out, because previously we've done all the modeling ourselves.
Yeah.
And so you could never have described it as handsome. Models actually look good.
I see your picture here. You and Brian are a couple of handsome guys, but one thing I noticed is that kind of disappointed me a little bit, Andy. I'm looking through your website here, and I don't see any pleats on these pants.
You know, it's interesting. Our core customer at this point is a 25 to 40 year old guy.
Exactly.
who prefers a flat front. But you bring up a great point, which is, if we want to be a customer service company at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that we're delighting as many customers as possible.
I like the way you said that, because for two reasons. Number one, you've lurched uncontrollably to the truth, so good for you on that with regard to customers. But number two, for my own purposes, I need the room. I like pleated pants. You know, I'm over 40, by the way.
You know, Ryan. we've got a Bonobos line in place that my sister's husband's father actually has said we need to make him a line called Senor Bonobo.
How about Bonobo folks?
It's going to have a pleat. So hey, stay tuned.
Yeah, double or triple is good too, by the way. You got some good looking clothes. I see you actually have a pink polo here too.
We have a pink polo, and I have some exciting news about that. Which
and
is
by
the
way,
partnered with the Pink Agenda.
I wear pink, Andy.
Terrific.
When I want to feel pretty, I wear pink.
Terrific. Well, yeah. we just partnered with the Pink Agenda, which is a breast cancer awareness philanthropy.
Good for you. Good for
you. And we're going to do a portion of proceeds on that polo to them.
Good for you. Well, you know, we support that here. In fact, next month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we'll be doing a program with at least three, if not five, breast cancer survivors, as we've done every year. So good for you on that, and I'm proud of you for that. So talk to us about where did you and your partner, you guys were students together in college, right?
We were housemates in business school, actually in grad school, and you know, we had two problems. You know, Brian had a problem, which is he couldn't find pants that fit, and I had a problem, which is I hated shopping for clothes in stores.
Yeah. So, well, what is now? I'm looking at Brian, and he looks like a regular guy. What's his problem with pants?
You know, his problem is this: he grew up in the Midwest, from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Stocky guy.
Played hockey and soccer growing up.
Yeah.
So he's got, you know, very large thighs.
Yeah.
And legs.
And
you
these
know,
and these
build.
And a lot of these Western, a lot of these European cut pants just won't even go over his legs.
Exactly. So you get this issue where you grow up playing sports in America.
Yep.
And
yep.
You know, you eat a few too many cheeseburgers.
If you're a regular, you know, full blooded American, you go to Europe, you can't get in their pants.
you can't get in their pants, and those guys look great in them, but you can't get in them if you've got an American guy's build.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is go to the mass market and buy pants, and frankly, those are pretty unflattering and pretty boxy.
Right.
And so what Brian did that was genius was he identified that there was a hole in the market in between the frumpy cut at the mass market and the skinny cut of the of sort of the European variety.
See, that's how I've gotten around that just by using the pleat thing. But I like what you're saying. So what you guys have done is you've returned style to the red-blooded American guy.
Well, what we've discovered is that fit is the most important thing to the male customer. They care about style, but they care about fit first and foremost. And that it turns out if you give a guy a great-fitting pair of pants, that he actually looks stylish, more stylish than if he's wearing a really expensive, quote-unquote stylish pair of pants that doesn't fit well on him.
And one more thing there, Andy. Let's not forget that that there's another constituency that likes the fit, too.
There is another constituency.
Yeah.
Constituency,
and if you know what I mean, and I think you do, ladies and gentlemen, 20 till the hour. We're going to be right back with Andy Dunn. We're going to talk some more about his business, how they got it off the ground, and where they're going with it. Stay with us. Welcome back. Perhaps the best song ever made by one of the best bands America ever produced, Fleetwood Mac. That's Rhiannon, one of the great songs. 17 Till, welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check that out when you get a chance. We built it just for you. Lots of good stuff there to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, including the archives of our show, the articles we've written, the blog, the newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email. Subscribe to that while you're there. Lots and lots of stuff. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun. We've got that for you there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Andy Dunn is with us, folks. He and Brian Spaley are the co-founders of Bonobos sportswear, I guess I should say, for men, pants, shorts, swimwear, T-shirts, right?
Well, now polos. We launched our polo shirt on Friday of last week, and we've already sold 1,000 units all over the internet.
You have extra large in that pink shirt.
We have extra, extra large.
No, I don't need the 2X. I just need the 1X.
Extra large is going to be 43 to 45, and the XXL is going to be 46 to 48.
Yeah, so I need a 1X in that pink one. So I'm gonna go on your website and order that. 68 bucks, right?
$68, but I'm going to give you my discount code, GoCubsGo, and that's going to get you
Go 50%. Cubs Go, all right, a good Chicago boy there. So you guys, the idea that you had this, you recognized that there was this problem that, muscular guys were having trouble getting in and looking good in these flat front pants and the
It was athletic guys. It was guys who've got 32-inch waist but a 34-inch hip, or a 36-inch waist and a 38-inch hip. The quarterback of the Chicago Bears is one of our most loyal customers, in part because he just can't find pants that fit.
But Andy, there is no more competitive world than the fashion world.
There's totally not.
I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
Let me tell you what I was thinking. There's no way we'd be doing this if we didn't also feel like we could build a distribution channel advantage. And that's why we have married what we think is a better-fitting men's clothing company with an entirely unique way of selling, which is 100% over the web. And, Jim, I'll tell you, when we got started, people said, nobody's going to buy pants from a company they've never heard of over the Internet.
Mm.
And we said, well, Zappos built a $1 billion shoe company selling all over the web.
Well, good retort.
Good retort, and well, luckily the real retort was from our customers. We had 12,000 pairs of pants go out our doors in the first year. We had 5,000 customers with a 50% repeat purchase rate.
Wow, where are your pants made?
Our pants are currently manufactured in New York City.
Good for you.
On 7th Avenue in New York City.
Good for you. And so the fabric are, you got cotton, you got wool?
We've got phenomenal cottons coming from Belgium and wool coming from Italy, and corduroy coming from Spain. The buttons and zippers are coming from Italy. We're importing those all right here into New York City where the products are cut and sewn.
Right, right. And the low dollar has helped you with those imports, hasn't it?
It's helped a little bit, but at the end of the day, we're at an enormous disadvantage manufacturing in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah,
this is one of
what are you going to do about that?
This is something that makes me really sad because we would love to continue to make our products in America. Unfortunately, As we grow, when we got started ordering a couple hundred pants at a time, that worked fine. But now we're starting to order a couple thousand pants at a time, and we've got no choice but to go overseas as we scale the operation.
Yeah.
I think we'll keep doing things in the U.S. because we want to support our cutters and sewers here in New York City who got us started.
But think about the jobs that you're creating in America that are not necessarily cutting and sewing jobs.
Well, we're very
proud of
this.
If you guys weren't around, if you had started your company, see, this is what a lot of people miss about globalization, about global trade, is, you know, your company, if you if we were required for you to do everything in the United States, you wouldn't be doing business.
Exactly.
So instead, you founded your company, and you created lots of American jobs, just not all of your jobs are American.
Well, and by the way, Jim, we've created jobs in America at things that America is amazing at. You know, our VP of engineering comes to us from Zappos. He was their number two person.
Right.
His top lieutenant is a senior software engineer, also from Zappos.
You've improved the standard of living of your customers. Let's not forget that. That's a big thing with regard to the global trade. Is the standard of living of everybody in the world is improved when we trade globally. So all right, I want to come back to how did you capitalize your company?
Well, I want to say one thing on the last point, which is the most important thing that we don't outsource is customer service.
Yeah.
And so we're building our team here in New York City called the Ninjas, and it is empathetic, intelligent college grads who are the kinds of people that actually can relate to you and connect with you as our core customer when you call in or email us.
Right, right. Good
but back
you.
To the capitalization, we raised an angel investment round.
Yeah.
We were very lucky, Jim.
Did you know the angels, or did you go through a network?
Well, I had a couple of professors at business school who I frankly bothered them so much with so many bad business ideas that by the time I stumbled upon a good one, they paid me just to leave them alone.
That actually works, folks. I've done that too. Go ahead. I've actually gotten business like they were a customer. You know, they finally said, look, if I do business with you, will you leave me alone?
Yeah.
That actually works. So you did that. You've just had one round?
We've now had two rounds, and, you know, we've had it from people who are venture capital investors, consumer business model innovators, and some of our most enthusiastic customers.
When will you be 100% self-sustaining? With
you know,
customers.
We've had several cash flow positive months. We've had about five out of
good for
in
you.
2 years.
Good for you.
And so we're on the cusp. And the question is do we want to go cash flow positive over the course of the next 6 months, or do we want to raise another round to pursue a larger outcome faster? And that's the decision we're making.
And
right
are
now.
You committed to staying online?
I am very committed to building a web-driven business. At the end of the day, you know, we're not idiots. We know that people like to shop for clothing in person, too,
right?
And that's a compliment.
So you've learned about the magic medicine, and that is find out what your customers want. That's what your business should do, right?
Exactly.
Find out what your customers want, folks. That's the silver bullet. That's the magic pill to ease your pain, ladies and gentlemen. Do what your customers want. Tin Till, right back with Andy Dunn. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Andy Dunn is our guest, folks. He's our new friend, soon-to-be old friend. Andy's going to be back with us. We're going to keep up with him and see how he and his partner, Brian Spaley, are doing with their fashion, their men's fashion company, Bonobos, BONOBOS.com. Is that right, Andy?
That's exactly right.
But also BonobosPants.com.
Well, that's actually what we started with, and that'll point you right back to
it.
But
yeah. Because that's the one I went to, and you got T-shirts and pants and swimwear and shorts and tees and all that kind of stuff. So, Andy, you told us when we went to the break that you're committed to having a very, if not always 100% internet base, you intend to have a very strong internet-based presence. Because, frankly, the internet is more efficient than retail, isn't it?
Well, it's more efficient in that you can add up demand from customers all across the country and serve them out of one location. And, you know, I learned this when I worked for Land's End, and I saw the customer loyalty that they built out of Dodgeville, Wisconsin with the direct-to-consumer business.
Right.
And the fun part, Jim, is you can offer a better price. So our Polo shirt is a great example. It's $68, so it's $10 cheaper than Polo and Lacoste, and frankly, it's a better fitting Polo with a higher quality fabric.
So you got, I know you got 38. I know you got XL pant shirts. Do you have 38 pants? They make them that big?
We make them up into 40.
Okay. Hey, Andy, talk to us about how you decide how to contact people. When you're doing business with somebody, when you're talking to somebody who might be a distributor or something like that, how do you talk to us about the process that you go through when you're courting a prospective customer or somebody you're trying to work with, or maybe even a venture capitalist? How do you decide, you know, when to call, when to email, when to go see them?
Well, Jim, have you ever heard the story about the man who drowned in a lake that was an average of 3 feet deep?
Yeah.
This is one of my favorites, because mm-hmm. with customer service, averages are dangerous.
Yeah.
The average customer may want one email a week from us, but that's actually comprised of some people that only want to hear from us once a month and people that want to hear from us every day.
Yeah.
And so we do something pretty dorky here at Bonobos, which is customer segmentation. And mm-hmm. we try to understand what the needs are of different segments of our customers who have like preferences, and then serve them in a comparable way.
Right.
And so we do things like we reach out to our customers via voicemail 2 days after they've received their order, to just to check in to see if they like it. But what we find is that only about a fifth of those folks want to actually call back and talk to us.
Right.
And so we're very thoughtful about the way we leave the message, to not imply that they have to call us back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a small example.
Right.
Another one is on emails, where we were developing a tool right now with our Zappos-led technology team that will enable customers to tell us how often they want to hear from us.
Right.
So that we don't have to guess.
This is so smart, Andy, because you heard me say it earlier. This is the magic bullet. This is the silver bullet, the magic pill, and that the magic remedy for your pain, and that is just to ask your customers what they want. And you guys have got that right off the bat, so good for you. But what about when you're trying to reach somebody for your business? Not so much a pants customer, but somebody that you're trying to get to take your products, maybe a retailer or somebody like that. How do you decide? What makes you, you know, I know you call them and say, hey, I'm Andy, how you doing? Or you email them, hey, I heard about you from so-and-so. But at what point in time, what makes you decide to go see them face-to-face?
Well, this is such an interesting question. But, you know, I think for things like selling to a retailer or raising capital from an investor, it's a lot like dating. And I try to play the role of the girl.
Oh,
you know, which is, I flirt and make sure people know that I'm available, but
right.
I let them reach out, because you're going to get much better terms if somebody's asking you for something than if you're asking
them.
You
play the coy thing, don't you?
In those situations, I do.
How do you decide? At what point in time is there a decision made that, you know what, we've flirted on by email, we flirted on the phone, now it's time to actually go on a date?
You know, I think it comes from hearing the reputation of someone out there in the marketplace as someone that we want to do business with. I mean,
yeah.
I can give you an example right now, which is mm-hmm. we're thinking about raising a venture capital round. You know, the business is more than double year on year, which is terrific, in a premium consumer goods business. And so we've done what I think anyone would do, which is we've talked to other investments of these venture capitalists to mm-hmm. understand how much they like working with them.
But are they going to want to see you face-to-face before they give you the money? Are you going to be able to do it virtually?
Absolutely they do. And,
yeah.
you know, it ties in with one of my favorite principles from Malcolm Gladwell in Blink, which is one of the worst ways to learn about somebody is to actually talk to them face-to-face. It's much better to talk to people that they've done business with who actually aren't on their list of on-list references.
Bonobos.com, all O's, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out when you get a chance. Andy, I'm going to see you in 2 weeks. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it.
Congratulations
up here
on
New
your
York.
Success. See you later. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.